Heavenly Father, we thank you once again, Lord. We are in the house of the Lord, and we appreciate an opportunity to gather together to worship you and to hear the word of the Lord. Corporate worship. As we've been here today, Lord, we thank you for your presence. And we thank you, Lord, for the word of God. As always, we know that word brings light. The Bible says the entrance of your word brings light. And Lord, we ask today, Lord, you said, if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. We ask today, Lord, the oracles of God to declare this message himself. And that you be glorified in the message of the Lord. And Lord, give us understanding. And Lord, we praise you. We give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise amen. Praise God. Now, I want you to turn your Bible. We're going to start at Matthew chapter 11. Today, I'm preaching on prevailing prayer. Prevailing prayer. Now, we've touched on this kind of message before, and the last few times we dealt with faith and different things in different ways. Now, this is also a subject that has to do with faith, of course, you know. If you're praying, you don't have any faith, you're not going to get anything from the Lord. You know, but we want to pray, we want to preach on this message here, prevailing prayer. Now, this is, we're starting on Matthew chapter 11, and I am going to start at verse 12. Now, Jesus, he was talking about John the Baptist, because they wanted to know different things about him and so forth. And he said a few things. You know, I won't go into that, but verse 12 is where I want to start this morning. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Well, you say, what does that mean? Well, that's what we're going to find out this morning. He said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, Jesus was saying, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent are taking it by force. Now, the kind of prayer that we're prevailing prayer is the title of the message this morning. The kind of prayer we're talking about this morning is not just a recitation of a few words, you know, or 2 minutes prayer, you know, where you just say, Lord, bless me, and so forth like that, and then you jump up and you go your way. You know, that's not what we're talking about at all today. This is prevailing prayer. And we're going to see some examples in the Bible. And we're going to see why we need to stay with God in prayer. And why we need this kind of, you know, power with God this morning. So, let's talk about that. James chapter 5 and verse 16. It says, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, take note of those words. First, the fervent. Now, so that's not any kind of wishy-washy or, you know, halfway, you know, kind of prayer. No, it's fervent prayer of a righteous man. Now, last week we talked about the good way, the old path, the righteousness, you know, that we must have with God and so forth. So righteousness forms a basis also for this. And how do we ascend into his hill? How do we stand in his presence and so forth? We talked about that last week. That's all by righteousness. And that goes with this message. But today I want to bring another viewpoint concerning how you can prevail in prayer. Now, this is the kind of prayer that gets results. That's what we are talking about today. Now, most people know how to pray. Now, some people don't know how to pray, but most people do. You know, and, you know, prayer is nothing more than talking with God. Now remember, I said with God, not talking to God. That's talking with God. You know, most people know how to talk to God, but they don't know how to, you know, hear from God. You know, but this message is going to deal with talking with God. You know, when you talk, you know, to him, he talks back to you and so forth like that. You know, and but we're going to see how you can, you know, accomplish things, great things in your prayer with God, and how you can get results, and what the Bible has to show about examples of people that were able to prevail in prayer, to have power with God through prayer and so forth. Now, turn with me. The first example I want to give, that these are regular men of God, you know, I mean, people of God just like us, you know, they're nothing special and so forth about them, but, you know, you'll see some of the things that they did in the Bible, how they prevailed in prayer, you know, and so on. Now, Jacob, in the book of Genesis chapter 32 and starting at verse 24. Now the story of Jacob, and I don't have time to go into that whole story, but you may read it on your own. He had been having problems with his brother Esau, you know, because of some things that happened, you know, how Jacob supplanted and got the blessing instead of Esau. And he had been running from his brother and, you know, and so forth like that. And he decided to, you know, go meet his brother and all that, you know. So that's the background to the story, but I don't want to take too much time and go into that. But here is the place that I want to reach, starting at verse 24 of Genesis 32. Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. Now, this man that wrestled with Jacob just appeared from nowhere, it seemed like. You know, and when this man that was wrestling, we're going to find out who this man is that wrestled with God, with Jacob in a minute. And when he saw that he prevailed not against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh. Now, he knew where exactly, because Jacob wouldn't let him go. He grabbed a hold of him, and he wouldn't let him go. You know, and this man, you know, he was chasing him around and so forth, and he wouldn't let him go. You know, so, you know, he knew what to do. And he touched the hollow of his thigh and so forth, and, you know, got an bandage over him, you know, as Jacob wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And Jacob said, "Oh no, I will not let thee go except thou bless me." How many of you say amen to that? Now, that's not a 2 minutes kind of prayer. You know, that's not the kind of prayer that you just say a few words and jump up and run up on your business. Now, this is travailing, prevailing prayer. Not only travailing, but also prevailing. You know, we're going to find out how to prevail in prayer. Now, he said, you know, "Let me go." You know, and he said, "No, you know, you got to bless me. I'm not going to let you go." And so finally he asked him, said, "Look, what's your name?" You know, this figure asked Jacob, "What is your name?" And he said, "My name is Jacob." And he said unto him, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel." Oh my. Well, you know, when he begins to change your name like that, you know who he is. And he said, "For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Oh my. Jacob, he wrestled with this figure. This figure was a figure of God. You could say it was an angel of the Lord that appeared to Jacob there and so forth like that. And he was representing the Lord. And Jacob said, you know, and God used to appear in different ways in the Old Testament. Sometimes he would appear like the angel of the Lord. The people didn't understand who he was, so they just said the angel of the Lord and so on. You know, so Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, what is your name?" And he said, "Why is it that you want to know my name?" And so forth like that, and he blessed him, you know. And Jacob called the name of the place. Now finally, you know, after he received that blessing, his eyes opened. You know, he said, "Wow." He said, "I'm going to name this place Peniel." He said, "Because I have wrestled, you know, I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." So finally, Jacob realized that that was God. Amen? I mean, how do you wrestle with God and prevail? You know, how do you wrestle with God in prayer? Now, this is the thing about the Lord. The Lord wants you to wrestle with Him, and He wants you to win. Amen? I mean, that's exactly the thing about God. He will give you the grace to wrestle with Him and to prevail. You know, He doesn't want you to lose. You know, He wants to give it to you. See? But, you know, you've got to take it. You know, that's why it says the kingdom of heaven is suffering violence, and the violent are taking it by force. You know, it's not just going to come to you without you doing anything. You know, the Bible says, "Thou verily art a God that hideth thyself." You know, so He will hide Himself, but He wants the people to seek Him. He wants the people to get a hold of Him. But, you know, what we do is we say a few short words and we run off. You know, we don't have the time, you know, the place for God most of the time. You know, but you want God to do something spectacular for you, but you know, if you're not ready to spend time in His presence, you're not ready to prevail, you know, you may not get very far. But let's take a look and see some of the others in the Bible that wrestled. You know, now this Jacob, he knew how to grab on to things. And the Bible says even from the womb he grabbed on to, you know, the ankle of his brother. There were twins coming out of there. You know, he already knew how to grab onto things. And when he got hold, when he sank his teeth into something, he wouldn't let go. When he grabbed a hold of that angel of the Lord, he wouldn't let go until he got a blessing. Now that's a lesson for some of us today. If the Lord visits you, are you going to run off in after just a few minutes? You know, perhaps, you know, some people can't stand the power of His presence. You know, so they, you know, they just run off and so forth like that. But You've got to stay in his presence. You have to get a hold of God and not let go in order to get a real and true blessing from God. Now let's look at, you know, some of the other examples in the Bible. Elijah. Of course, in James chapter 5, the verse 16 that we read, you know, it was talking about Elijah was a man, you know, of like passion, that he prayed, you know, fervently, you know, for one thing or the other, you know, and then the Lord answered him when there was drought in the land by the word of Elijah, you know, and then when it was time to bring rain, he sought the Lord. So we're going to read here what Elijah did when he sought the Lord for that rain. 1 Kings chapter 18, and I want to read from verse 41. First Kings chapter 18, I'm going to read from verses 41 through about 46. This was the story of Elijah, you know, and Elijah, you know, when he brought the word of the Lord, you know, he had gone up and against Ahab and so forth, and he prophesied that there would be no rain for so long, and for about 3.5 years there was no rain. And when it came time, when the Lord told him, you know, he came back on the scene and he said, you know, he knew it was time to bring the rain, but the rain wasn't forthcoming. And so, you know, here's what he did in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Now, the Lord already told Elijah that rain was coming. So he went and met Ahab and told him, well, you know, the drought is over. The rain is coming. So you get up and go, you know, and there's rain coming. And when Ahab left, he went up to drink and so forth because they've been suffering for 3.5 years. But Elijah, he went up to the top of Carmel and he cast himself down upon the earth. And he put his face between his knees. Now, why would he have to do that? He already knew the rain was coming. The Lord already told him that the rain was coming. See? And he already went because he told Ahab, he said, there shall not be rain, you know, all this time except by my word. And when it was time, he came back and the Lord told him it was time. But he came back, you know, and since the Lord already promised it, why was it necessary for him to pray? Why was it necessary for him to get a hold of God based on what God already promised? Now that's where some people miss the mark. You know, just because God promised it, just because God already said it, doesn't mean you are going to get it unless you really go for it. You know, and if you are not going for it, if you are not laying a claim on the promises of God, you know, and if you are not getting a hold of God, you know, some things may pass you by. We're going to see one or two more examples in the Bible. So Elijah, he got a hold of God, and he said to his servant, go now and look toward the sea. And the man went up and looked, and he said, there is nothing. And he came again, and he did that 7 times. And Elijah put his head down between his knees, and he began to cry unto God. He said, Lord, bring that rain that you promised, honor your word. And he begins to pray, you know, and so forth like that. You know, and it came to pass, verse 44, the 7th time, that behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get it down, you know, that the rain stopped thee not. And it came to pass, you know, in the meanwhile, that the heaven was black with clouds. You know, it started with a little cloud, you know, and so forth like that. And Elijah, he continued to pray, and he continued to pray through for that rain, you know. And the next thing you know, the whole heaven was black with clouds and the winds. And there came a huge downpour. He prayed through, and even in the book of James, it is recorded that he prayed through with fervent, effectual prayer, and he got the blessing. He got the rain down that he was looking for. Now, there's a message in that for some of us today. You know, you're looking for rain. You're looking for revival from God. Even though he has promised it, you got to put your face down between your knees, like Elijah did. You got to pray. And you got to get a hold of God. And don't turn loose, if it takes 1 time, takes 7 times, it doesn't matter how long it takes. First, there might be a glimmer of the promise of God, but don't turn loose. You stay right there with the word of God. Stay with prayer, and God is going to bring a great deluge. How many of you say amen? Praise the Lord. Now, let's see the book of Daniel. Let's see the example of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 10. Now, this is going to show us one of the reasons why we really need to pray through in prayer. You know, why you don't jump up, you know, after the first few minutes necessarily that you are praying and believing God for something significant in your life. Daniel chapter 10. He said in verse 2, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Now that's 21 days. 21 days he was in prayer. And listen to what he said. He said, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till all the 3 weeks were fulfilled. So he set his face to seek the Lord for 21 days. You know, and he wanted the children of Israel to go home. He wanted to understand the things that will happen in the end of time. He wanted a breakthrough. You know, he wanted a breakthrough. They were in captivity, in case you don't know the story. But I don't have time to deal with all of the story. Daniel and Israel were in captivity in Babylon and so forth like that. You know, and Daniel, he set his face, this particular time, set his face to pray, to seek the Lord. He wanted to understand, you know, what would become to his people in the latter days. You know, and he wanted them to go home. You know, he just set his face to seek the Lord. 21 days he was praying. And listen to what happened. You know, verse 10. You know, and behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands, and said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Now that was Daniel, he stood trembling. Then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from that first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Now from the first day, now remember, Daniel said it took him 21 days, and he stood right there with the prayer, you know, he wouldn't turn loose, you know. But here's a secret of something that happened that Daniel wasn't aware of until the angel told him about it. The angel told him, he said, look, from the very first day that you started to pray, the Lord heard your words and he sent me forth. See, he said, but, verse 13, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Now that's 21 days. So this angel was dispatched from the Lord to bring an answer to Daniel. But there were some opposing forces. There were some wicked spirits, spiritual wickedness in high places. They were going to prevent, if they had anything to say about it, they were going to make sure that Daniel did not get the answer to his prayer. See? And that was happening in the spiritual, but Daniel didn't know much about it at the time. But he just kept praying. But, you know, by reading through all of this, we get an insight into what happens sometimes when you are seeking the Lord. You know, and he said, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me and remained there with me, you know, and so forth like that, with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days and so forth. And, you know, the vision is yet for many days. Now, so there was a breakthrough, but it took 21 days. Can you imagine 21 days of spiritual battle in the heavenlies, you know, while you're praying here on earth? You know, that's one of the reasons why you mustn't let go. You know, at the first time, you know, just because you pray for a few minutes and you don't seem to get the answer, you don't know what's going on in the spiritual world, but sometimes we do know, you know, but Daniel didn't know, you know, and you have to stay in prayer. You can't just turn loose after you prayed for just a little while and then run off, you know, because there are some spiritual forces, wickedness in high places, the rulers of the darkness of this world that are trying to prevent your answer from coming through. But you must stand in the name of the Lord. You must stand in prayer. You must prevail. You must wait until you get a blessing from God. Now, there are different kinds of prayers. You know, there are some prayers that you can just say the word by faith and move on. You know, but there are some kinds of prayers, you know, that you have to travail in order to prevail. And that's what we are talking about today. And we see that, we've seen some of these examples, you know, where they did it. And it shows us sometimes, you know, that even though God will dispatch the prayer, I mean the answer to the prayer, you know, there may be some opposing forces. You've got to get in with the Lord. You know, a prayerless Christian, it has been said, is a powerless Christian. How many of you know that's true? Yeah. If you don't pray, you don't have any power with God, you know, and so forth. Jesus himself, he showed us that. You know, all the time in the days of his earthly ministry, he would get up early in the morning and he would go to the mountain and pray. And he would even tell the disciples, look, pray, lest you enter not into temptation, you know. and so forth. Like, and people don't, you know, they wouldn't pray, and then of course, you know, they get into trouble, you know, and so forth. But Jesus, you know, he always prayed. And we're going to see an example of Jesus, the master himself. You know, what kind of prayer he would pray sometimes on some events that were critical, you know, and so forth like that. So let's take a look at, you know, first before we look at the example of Jesus, let's see what Jesus said about, you know, this kind of prayer, why we shouldn't give up when we are praying. In Luke chapter 18, from verses 1 through 8, Jesus was talking about, you know, giving an example, I mean, giving us admonition on why we should pray and not to faint. You know, don't stay with the prayer and don't be discouraged, Jesus said. And here's what he said in Luke chapter 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Pray all the time. In fact, the Bible says pray without ceasing. He said, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, nor regarded man. And in the same city there was a widow, which came to him and said, avenge me of my adversary. But he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, said, look, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Now, let me slow down and take that story slowly so that you can understand it. Now, in those days, the way that Jesus put it here, there's a judge. See, and this woman, she was a widow, her husband already died. And she had a problem. She had a case, you know, and so forth like that. She went to the judge, and every day she cried to the judge, and the judge couldn't care. He had no compassion. He had no empathy for her situation. So he didn't care anything about her at all, and he wouldn't do the justice. You know, he didn't care. And this woman kept bothering him and so forth, you know. And so finally he said, look, it's not because I even care about the woman or even fear God or anything like that. But if I don't do something, this woman will not let me alone. So in order to get rid of her, I'm going to do what she wants just to get rid of her. And Jesus said, listen to what the unjust judge said. You know, and I remember every time that Jesus gives some of these, you know, parables and so forth, there is a real lesson behind it. You know, and he said, look, if the unjust judge can say this, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Oh yes. He said, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. He said, nevertheless, you know, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith? That, you know, if you're praying and there is no faith behind it, you know, how can you get your prayer answered? You know, sometimes, you know, the disciples, they didn't even know how to pray. You know, and Jesus, he was describing to them how to pray. In Matthew chapter 6 and verses 6 and 7, Jesus begins to tell them, look, you know, some people think that, you know, the prevailing prayer that we are talking about here, you know, and the travailing prayer, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. This is not the kind of prayer where you make vain repetitions. In fact, Jesus, he tried to explain to the disciples, to dissuade them from using vain repetitions. Here's what he said. But thou, when thou prayest, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, you know, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward you openly. Why did he say that? You know, the verse before that, he said, look, he said, you know, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, which love to stand in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, you know, make long prayer and so forth like that. You know, we're not talking about that at all. We're not talking about when you come to church and you make long prayer, you come to the prayer meeting and you make long prayer. No, we're talking about your prayer life in your closet. When God, who sees in secret, when he can hear you in secret and then reward you openly. We're not talking about making a show. And here's what Jesus said. He said, be not ye like unto the heathen. Verse 7. He said, when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, because they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. You know, they think that, you know, the more they speak and the more they jump up and down and so forth, that's how the Lord is going to hear them. You know, one time, Elijah, making a mockery of the prophet of Baal in 1 Kings, you know, chapter 17, you can read the story and so forth, you know, and all, you know, and all that. You know, and he would tell them, look, and in chapter 18, and he would tell them, you know, why don't you jump a little more, you know, cry a little louder? Maybe, you know, after all, your God is a God, you know, maybe he's asleep. Why don't you shout a little more? He made mockery of them and so forth. And those folks, they thought that by shouting, by cutting themselves with knives and jumping up and down, that's how they were going to be hurt. Of course, you know, they were serving idols, you know, a dead God that couldn't do them anything, you know, and so forth. And Jesus is saying here that, no, it's not by all that stuff. That's not how you get heard. But when you want to really get heard from the Lord, you enter into your closet. And you seek the Lord in your closet, and the Father that seeth in secret, he will reward you openly. How many of you say praise the Lord? Also in Luke chapter 11, he tells a story similar to this, you know, giving us an example of, you know, look, don't turn loose when you are praying. Don't let anything discourage you. You stay, you know. Why is it that God doesn't jump, you know, every time through the hoop just because you say, oh Lord, do this, oh Lord, do that, and so forth like that? You know, why is it? You know, God, you know, sometimes he wants to test you. You know, some people say put the metal, you know, to the pedal. You know, he wants to know what material you're made of. You know, and he wants to see whether you are going, the little old thing, the little smallest thing is going to discourage you, or whether you are going to stay, you know, with God in prayer. Now, Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. You know, which of you, he said, will have a friend that will go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves because I have somebody that came in from out of town and I don't have any food at this hour, you know, and so forth. And he said, you know, the friend will say, don't trouble me, myself and my children are already in bed and so forth, you know. And he said, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, you know, just because he's friend, you know, just because he is his friend, you know, yet because of his importunity, because he continues to bother him, he is going to get up, you know, because this guy is at the door, continues to knock and say, look, I need some bread to set before, you know, my friend that came from out of town, you know. And the guy said, go away, you know, I'm already asleep with my children and so forth. And he kept knocking. And he stood right there and kept knocking. And the guy said, look, the only way to get rid of this guy, I got to go down there and give him what he wants and to get rid of him. You know, Jesus, you know, he began to give these examples. And he's showing us that when you are praying, you know, don't take no for an answer. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. His promises are yea and amen. Not perhaps, not maybe, not, you know, and so forth like that. You know, his promises are yea and amen. We taught in the Faith Lab last month, you know, how to really get answers to some of your prayers. First, get a hold of his promise. You know, make sure that you meet the conditions as well. And then if you do that, you know, you can really get an answer from the Lord. You know, but Jesus is showing us here, you know, how to stay with God in prayer. Now, let's see the example of Jesus himself. You know, of course, everything he taught, he did. In the book of Luke chapter 22. And I'm going to read at verse 40. Now Jesus, you know, as his hour was approaching that he would go to the cross and so forth, you know, he would, you know, he took some of his disciples and he went, you know, further to pray and so on. But he told them, you know, he always told them, he said, look, pray so that you get not into temptation. But the disciples, they didn't pray. They just went to sleep. You know, so let's read Luke chapter 22 and verse 40. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and knelt down and prayed. And he said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not thy will be done, not my will, but thine be done. Now, Jesus, he was facing, you know, and he was going for that pearl of great price. That's you, and that's me. And you're sitting here today. And Jesus was going for that, you know. And so, he was going to do everything it took to redeem us back from the devil and from the curse of the law. And he was also going to pray himself out of that grave. Because the devil told him, you know, I'm going to put you in that grave and you're not coming out of there. Well, you know, Jesus was going to pray through all of that. Especially, he was going to get the prize, you know, the pearl of great price. And he was going to get it. And that's you. So, here's what he did. The Bible says, and there appeared an angel from heaven strengthening him. And verse 44, and Jesus, being in agony, he prayed the more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now, can you pray that kind of prayer until blood begins to come out of your forehead like sweat? You know, that's Jesus. Now that's some kind of prayer. Amen? And that's because of the souls of the elect that he needed to get. And he fought that battle, and he won that battle for every one of you that's sitting in the seats here today. He got that prize. But he didn't get it by just some wishy-washy prayer. The Bible says he stood right there, he prayed, he was agonized, and blood was coming out of his forehead. Oh my goodness. The Bible says that you have not even yet resisted sin unto the shedding of blood. You know. But Jesus, he prayed, you know. He knew no sin, but he prayed until blood was coming out of his forehead for you and for me. And he showed us how to travail in that prayer, and he wouldn't turn loose. And he prayed for every one of the elect down through the ages. He got every one of you in there by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Oh yes, and today, if you believe, Jesus already paid the price. Hallelujah. So he got it. He got the prize. He got it, you know, through travailing prayer. And when he did, you know, he was able to blast out of that grave. The grave couldn't even hold him down because he already prayed through. You know, this kind of prayer we're talking about is a prayer that gets you prepared for any unforeseen contingencies. You know, there is nothing unforeseen because God already knows everything. You know, but if you are not prayed through, if you don't have this kind of prayer pattern in your life, then you are going to panic at every little old thing. You know, but if you are prayed through and prayed up, you know, then you know that God already heard you. And so you'll be able to walk through. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So he got the victory. Now let's look at David. Oh, I love to preach from David all the time. You know, and you know, David was a man, he knew how to get a hold of God. And he knew how to walk that prayer along with praise and get something going with the Lord. Now, you know, I preached a message similar to this before, you know, and so on. You know, when I preached on the dynamic duo, faith, I mean, prayer and praise and so forth. You know, if you pray, you know, you have to use your faith, of course, but the praises of the Lord, the high praises of God in your hand is what really gets the job done most of the time. You know, and Jesus, when he taught his disciples to pray, the first thing he said was, you know, you say, hallowed be thy name. First thing is you glorify the Lord. You praise him. You hallow his name. You jump up and down, shout the victory. You know, you glorify him. You do all of that. You say how great he is. You know, you just rejoice in his goodness and so forth before you begin to ask him to do this and that. You know, but most of the time, all we want to do is, hey Lord, you know, you bless me and do this for my child and do this for me and so forth and all that. You know, we don't want to spend time in his presence. And spending time in his presence doesn't mean that you are unbelieving. No, you spend a lot of time praying and mingled with praise. You know, you just praise him for all the, you know, you can't do too much of his praises, you know. You can, because the Bible says the 24 elders, night and day, you know, they cease not to say, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. Now, David, in 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. And I've touched on this subject once before when we preached, you know, on a message similar to this. But let me go through this today and quickly and show you, you know, the kind of prayer, you know. See what God can do with you if you know how to prevail in prayer. Now, here's what David said. And David spoke unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hands of all his enemies and the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. If you love the sound of that, you can say amen. And he is my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. He's my high tower. Hallelujah. You know the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Proverbs 18 and 10. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. He is my tower, my high tower, and my refuge, my savior. You know, I've always said that David, even before the angel came to announce Jesus as the savior, he knew that the Lord was the savior. He is my savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Thus shall I be saved from my enemies. But let's see the kind of prayer, you know, that David, you know, began to do. When the waves of death compassed him around, when the floods of ungodly men rose up against me, when they even made him afraid, when the sorrows of hell compassed him about, when the snares of death prevented him, in my distress, I called unto the Lord, I cried unto my God, and he did hear me out of his temple. And my cry did enter into his heart, into his ears. Now let's see the kind of prayer. Let's see the results that David got Now, can your prayer do this? I've asked this question once before in this church. You know, can your prayer do this? When you call upon the Lord, when you get a hold of God, can your prayer make the earth to shake? The Bible says that in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 8, when David prayed, he said, "Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of even heaven moved and shook because the Lord was wroth." Will the Lord be wrath and stand up on your behalf when you pray? Can you pray that kind of prayer that gets God to do these things that are in here? "There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured," you know, and so forth. "Coals were kindled by it." Can your prayer make God blast fire out of his nostrils? Can your prayer make God to stand up and fight on your behalf? Now that's not the kind of wishy-washy, too many prayer. That's not going to do it. You know, "He bowed the heavens, and he came down. Darkness was under his feet. He also rode upon a cherub and did fly. He was seen upon the wings of the wind." Can you cause God to stand up from his holy place and ride upon a cherub to your rescue? Can your prayer do that? "Through the brightness that was before him, coals of fire were kindled. The Lord even thundered from the heaven." Can you cry with a voice that will make God to thunder from heaven? Can your prayer do that? See, can you get in with God in prayer and get a hold of God to where God will stand up and thunder from heaven on your behalf? Can he send lightnings and arrows and scatter your enemies and discomfit them because of your prayer? Do you think the kind of 2 minutes prayer that you just say, "Lord, bless me as I go out today," you know, you think that's going to get the job done? See, many people pray that kind of prayer every morning and they still get into an accident in the daytime. Why do you think? Because there are forces of darkness that are trying to prevent you. And you must know how to get a hold of God and pray prevailing prayer that gets results. You say, "How do I do all of this?" Well, some young people say, "Well, how do we do all of this?" Well, you have to come to these faith labs. That's when we are going to be teaching how you do all these things. You know, in these services, we just tell you, you know, what to do. You want to know exactly how? You come to the faith lab. You come to the one this Friday. You don't miss it, and you'll hear more about this. You know, "And he sent his arrows and scattered them, and the channels of the sea appeared, and the foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord because of the prayer of David." Can your prayer make God rebuke the sea? Can your prayer make God pile up the sea on the left and on the right hand so that you can go through on dry land? Can you do that? Can you do all of these things? He said, "He delivered me from my strong enemy," you know, and so forth like that. And you read the rest of it and see all that God did. "He brought me also forth into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me." Now, we've always said this kind of prayer is always backed by righteousness. He said, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness." That's in verse 21. "According to the cleanness of my hands has he recompensed me, because I have kept the ways of my God and I have not wickedly departed from the Lord." Oh my goodness. Can your prayer do that? Can you pray with a voice, you know, like that makes God to do these things for you? Do you have the ability to stay with God in prayer? Do you have the fortitude, the spiritual fortitude, to stay with God in prayer when God is proving you to see what material you have? Or are you going to run off after a few minutes? Can you stay there in prayer? Yeah, that's what we need today. We need some prayer warriors. We need some people that can get a hold of God, stay with God in prayer until they get the results. How many of you say praise the Lord? That's right, that's what we need. In the book of Job, when God began to answer Job back, he said to him in Job verse 38, you know, the story of Job, you know, he was a righteous man, even the Lord, you know, testified of him and so forth. And even bragged, you know, to the devil about him. And so the devil, he said to the Lord, he said, "Look," you know, because the Lord said, "Have you seen my servant Job? There's nobody like him," and so forth. "A man that escheweth evil, that loves God, is righteous in all his ways." And the devil, you know, he put forth a challenge to God. He said, "Look, you think Job serves you for nothing? You know, let me put forth my hand now, and then he will curse you to your face, sir." And the Lord said, "Well, you do it, you know, but don't touch his life now." So he went up against Job in every kind of way, the devil did. And And finally, even Job, he began to question God. He began to question and say all kinds of things and so forth like that. So finally, you know, here comes God talking to him out of the whirlwind. You know, and here are some of the things that the Lord was going to ask of him and so forth. Job 38. And he said, "Canst thou bind the sweet influences of the Pleiades?" In verse 31. "Or loose the bands of Orion?" Well, he said the Pleiades. Well, yeah, some constellations in the heavens. You know, that they are pulled together by, you know, just some gravitational forces and so forth. Some heavenly bodies. "Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season? Or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons?" You say, what's all this means? Well, verse 33. "Do you know the ordinances of heaven? You know, can you set the dominion thereof on the earth?" I mean, can you pray in such a way that you make things in heaven affect things upon the earth? Because Jesus said, whatsoever things you bind on earth are bound in heaven. Do you? Can your prayer do that? Can you challenge the ordinances of heaven, you know, in such a way that they will influence things on earth? Do you have the kind of power in prayer with God that can do that? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds and cause the abundance of rain to come upon you? Can you say to the sun and the moon, stand thou still in the valley of Ajalon? Now, I've got some job to do over here, like Joshua did. Do you have a voice like that in prayer? Can you do that? See? He said, can thou send lightnings that they may go and say unto you, here we are? And God, by asking Job some of these questions, we begin to see that it is possible to do these things. That's why he asked him those things. You know, if you know how to pray, if you know how to get a hold of God in prevailing prayer, you can even cause, you know, influences right from heaven to begin to influence your situation on earth. God will give you a breakthrough when you know how to get a hold of God in prayer. How many of you say praise the Lord? But this is not the kind of prayer you run off after a few minutes. You've got to stay with God in prayer. Can you do that? You know, are you willing to pay the price in order to get, you know, the rewards that you need from God? When you're looking for something unusual from God, are you yourself willing to do something unusual? Are you willing to spend more than a few minutes in prayer? You know, Daniel, he made prayer a business with God. He was at that same place every time. Didn't matter whether there was a decree that he shouldn't pray to any God other than, you know, the gods that they set up because they wanted to trap him. That didn't matter to Daniel at all. He stood there and he prayed that prayer every single night, just like he used to do. Didn't make him any difference at all. He made prayer a business with God. How many of you can make prayer a business with God? Or do you only remember to pray, you know, when you are in trouble? You know, can you set a time with God, a time apart, that nothing can take that time, take the place of that time that you will want to be in prayer? Can you set apart a time? How much time do you spend watching television, playing on the internet and doing all of these things and so forth? You know, versus the time you spend in prayer. How much time? You know, you can't have this kind of power unless you are willing to pay the price in prayer. The kind of power that makes God to stand up when you call. Oh, but let me tell you something too. David, he knew how to walk that praise. How many of you say amen? Oh yes. It wasn't just a prayer all the time. If you look at the prayers of David, the first things he's going to say is, the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. He's my deliverer. You know, now when you want God to deliver you and you begin to tell him that he's your deliverer, the Lord's going to say, yeah, that's me. Amen. Praise the Lord. You need to tell him how great he is. And when you know how to tell him how great he is, doesn't matter what you want from the Lord, if you know how to walk that praise, give him the highest praise. Oh my. You tell him you are higher than the highest. And there is no man that can stop your hand. And you tell him all the great things that he can do. The next thing you know, he stands up on your behalf. Oh, and he will bring you through on eagle's wings. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. How many of you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Lord, he wants us to have power with God through prevailing prayer. He showed us the example himself. He prayed for that elect That's you and me. Until blood was coming out of his brows. Oh yes, he did. And he didn't turn loose. And they put in, they slammed that rock on that grave. They slammed the rocks. They put the soldiers in front of the grave. They did everything to keep him in that grave. When the appointed time came, he blasted out of that grave. Because of the prayer that he prayed through. Oh yes. You know, if you pray through, if you know how to pray through, even the devil can't keep you here. You know, when the trumpet sounds, you go up with him. How many of you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. That is our hope and joy. That's what we are looking for. In fact, the Bible says, if only in this world you have hope, the children of God then will be the most miserable people. So we are looking for the glorious return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are looking for his return, and he's coming.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But when he comes, shall he find faith? Can he find this kind of faith in your life? You know, and so forth. And when the Lord visits you, when you get a visitation from God, you never know. You know, if you're not in prayer, you may miss the day of your visitation. When you get a visitation with God, you know, from God in prayer, like Jacob did, are you going to run off? Or can you get a hold of the Lord and say, I'm not going to turn loose until you bless me? The Lord will visit one of you in prayer, or any one of you in prayer. You know, will you just pray for a few seconds and then run off? Or will you keep the Lord there until he blesses you? Well, you know, these things that are in the Bible, they are written for our examples. Jacob knew how to do that. And he had power. He wrestled with God all night long. He said, you're not going anywhere. And the Lord, he wanted to test him. He wanted to prove him. And finally, he did something to get an advantage of him and so forth like that. You know, and, you know, but Jacob, he stood right there until he got the blessing that he wanted. And all these people that we have read in the Bible, they stood with it until they got the blessing that they want. The kingdom of God suffered violence. And the violent will take it by force. Now, can you be violent in prayer? Well, you can't be violent against the Lord. No. You know, don't let's misconstrue that. You know, it's not, you don't need to shout at the Lord. The Lord is not deaf or anything like that. It is our iniquity that makes his, you know, makes him to turn his face from our prayers. That's what the Bible says. The Lord is not deaf concerning anything and so forth like that. You don't need to shy and cry and shout to the Lord and so forth. But you got to be violent against the forces of darkness. You got to put on this whole armor of God. You've got to pull down the strongholds and you've got to exalt the name of the Lord. You have to do all of these things in prayer to get the result. But more importantly, you don't give up and you don't faint until you get the result. It's called praying through. When you, some people would like to call it a release of the Spirit. You know, you pray through until you get a release of the Spirit. Or whatever it is, you make sure that you get that thing that you are praying from God before you turn loose. Amen?
Amen.
Praise ye the name of the Lord. And sometimes, you know, you really have to get in on that prayer to do that. Now, we have a consecration prayer time coming up this weekend. We want you to take advantage of that and get in with God in prayer and seek the Lord until he may be found. You know, seek him. You know why? The time he's near. You know, call upon him, you know, and he will answer you. You know, he giveth power even to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. You know, he'll do all these things for you because he wants you to prevail in prayer against him. You know, when you are wrestling with God, he wants you to prevail. You know, and that's the beauty about God, you know. He throws out a challenge for you and he wants you to win. That's what he does. You know, he doesn't, you know, want you to lose. He wants to win because he wants to put a blessing on you. He said, I will put the covenant, my covenant of blessing in your life. My covenant of peace and so forth. Let's raise our hands this morning and ask the Lord to inspire our hearts to believe the word of God that you have heard this morning. That the Lord will energize you, even in your hearts, to begin to get a hold of God in prayer in your closet. And the Lord that hears in secret, he will reward you openly. Everybody, let's lift up our hands and pray this morning. And I'm going to ask God in the name of the Lord Jesus to move upon everyone that is here this morning and put a spirit of prayer, the spirit of urgency upon everybody, that we may know how to get a hold of the Lord and the garment of praise. When you know how to put that praise together with your prayer, there is nothing that the Lord cannot do for you. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Lord, the Bible says. Keep your eyes on the author and finisher of your faith. And he will answer your prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We give you the praise and the glory for all the things that you have shown us in the Word of God, how to prevail in prayer. We thank you for the examples that we have seen. Jesus Christ himself being the greatest example. How he prayed through for that pearl of great price until blood was coming out of his forehead. And Lord, we've seen examples that we have read in the Bible. We want you, Lord, to energize everyone in prayer today. Going forward, Lord, that you will give us that fortitude to stay with God in prayer. To get a hold of God and to stay with him until the Lord brings the time of refreshing. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Father, we give you the praise. We give you the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Now we're going to do a little of that this morning before we close the service. You know, I'm going to ask everybody now that we are going to take a session of prayer right now. You know, before we close this service, I want everybody, you know, what we have said in this message, we're going to do that right now. There are some things that you are believing God for, and this is the time to get a hold of God. This is not the time to turn loose. So let's see what the Lord is going to do for us this morning. Can you say amen?